Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, guys, welcome to a solo episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast. I am your one and only host today, Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast. And the reason we're doing a solo is a couple reasons. First of all, I'm about to go out of town for 4 days. And so schedule-wise, it was just like going to be easier to do this so that we could make sure that we could still get this out on time. So we kind of went back and forth about maybe recording late on Thursday and then trying to put something out on Friday. But I was like, you know what? With the finale airing this past Thursday, I was like, you know, I'll just get on and talk about the finale. And that way we can still have an episode that comes out on right now today, this Thursday that you're listening. And then next week we should be back with our regularly scheduled season 10 Grey's Anatomy content. So, to catch everybody up, I just watched the season 22 finale, and to be quite honest, I have not watched anything from season 22 since it came back from winter leave. So like the last thing I saw was when Joe's heart was getting bad in the pregnancy and they weren't sure what was going to happen. And then it went on leave and I just was like, okay, I'll watch it eventually. And maybe I will. Maybe I'll watch it this week when I'm traveling and I have uninterrupted television time. But I did not watch like half of this season. I watched everything in the fall. I have not watched. Obviously, there was the announcement about Teddy and Owen earlier this year, and I've been keeping up with it. I had the solo episode where I predicted that I did not think Owen would die as much as I wanted him to, and I was unfortunately correct. He did not die, and that was a bummer for me on a lot of levels. Now he's going to go ruin Paris, which is truly an amazing city, and it sucks that he's going to go there and be the worst, because I don't like it when he does that, but that is his favorite activity. There were obviously a lot of storylines that I missed, and I did not realize how much they were. I feel like Grey's Anatomy right now, podcast world time, season 10, is like a lot of really long storylines, like overarching several episodes. And there's clearly a lot that has happened in just the like 9 episodes that I haven't watched this 22 season. So kind of surprising. I have no idea who that Tony lady is that Amelia is apparently sleeping with, but not really anymore because she like left her wife. I don't know who this lady is. She's married to Celine. She has a son named Zach. And Amelia wanted to be with her, I guess. And she was like, I'm going to go back to my wife. And of course, then like finds Amelia canoodling with Sophia Bush, whose character I don't remember the name of, but Cass, her name is Cass. And it was so obvious when Amelia opened the door in a robe, I was like, well, obviously Sophia Bush isn't here. But yeah, I didn't even meet this Tony woman. So they introed her at some point, since I wasn't watching. And then Katie, who was like a terminally ill patient that Lucas was helping with. And he's like really mad about it. And she died. And like then Simone was also there. And like they like let this patient live with them, which feels like not great boundaries. But again, I didn't watch it. I don't know how any of it was explained or defended or whatever. Nick and Meredith are like, obviously they're fine. They go back and forth all the time because no one can just have happiness on this show. So they're fine. I guess Joe doesn't want to be a doctor anymore? Question mark, maybe. I don't know. Unclear. I thought she just had said maybe from what I had read, she didn't want to be an OB anymore. But now she's saying maybe she doesn't want to be a doctor anymore, which I definitely do understand if you're coming off of maternity leave, especially with twins. And you already have like a large family that you're supporting. And, you know, with the complications from her pregnancy, I don't think it's a reach for her to kind of reconsider how she wants to spend her time. You know, maybe she just takes a step back from medicine for like a couple years to hang out with the babies, stay home with them. Maybe she decides to go into some other form of medicine. Maybe OB is just like triggering for her now because she had this really traumatic like pregnancy and birth situation. If they explained this and I didn't watch it and you're yelling at your podcast listening device right now, I apologize. I don't know. I didn't watch it. And maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I don't know. I couldn't really find a summary. Wikipedia was kind of failing me today. So, but yeah, I don't think it was a stretch for me to imagine being like, you know what, maybe I don't want to do this right now. Because this is, again, very demanding job, very high pressure job. And she has her family and maybe her priorities are just shifted and she just wants to reevaluate. And then in the same vein, Bailey says, oh, maybe I'll go get a master's in public health, which I love that for her. I want nothing but success for Miranda Bailey. I think she's an angel. And I think Ben Warren said it best when he said the world would be a better place if there were more Miranda Baileys in charge. And I think that is correct. And I guess she has somehow become a divisive character in these later seasons, but I don't have an issue with her. I think anytime she's sassy or snarky, I'm like, yeah, she's earned the right to do that. So I don't really take issue with her doing it. Richard, I guess I missed something with Richard and Quan because he is pissed and he has fired him like 6 times just in this finale episode and people keep trying to make him not fire him. I don't know if that's just like a budget cut thing and they got to get rid of some characters. So they're going to fire him because he gave an experimental drug to someone maybe without approval is what it sounded like, which has definitely been done in this show before by people who did not get fired. And let us recall when Richard did nothing, when Izzy cut an LVAD wire. And I guess Meredith like kind of had medium repercussions when she committed insurance fraud. But these Miranda like gave that kid the HIV drug. It wasn't a drug. It was like she took his blood and put it like on deactivated age. I remember this plot line, but I do not remember it well enough to explain it. But regardless, it's just people in this hospital do whatever they want and they never face a consequence. So it's interesting that they chose this one character to have a consequence. So, you know, it's fine. And then obviously last episode ended with like that bridge collapse. Good Lord. And so this one picks up with it and Teddy's pressed because that's the bridge Owen takes. Obviously Owen's on the bridge, his car sinking, blah, blah, blah. He breaks out with one of those like glass breaker things. And I will say someone on Discord was like, oh, of course he has that. And I just want to say, as someone who is riddled with anxiety, I have had one of those in my car since I started driving. It is a flashlight, is a crank flashlight. And then it has the little point that can break glass. And then on the other side, it has like a razor that can cut through a seatbelt. And honestly, would recommend. Always have one in my car. You just never know when you'll need it. And even if you don't need it, you could come across someone
who might need help in some other scenario and you can offer it. It's like they have them varying forms of that combination of tools on Amazon for, I don't know, like $10 to $20. I think it's a good use of money. But again, I just like to always fear the worst thing possible happening. So I just keep it in the car. Anyways, so he gets out of the truck and he immediately comes on this other car. And of course, he's like, hero, saving day. And it was kind of at the front end giving the Derek saving the day. And I was like, oh, you know, I knew before I watched it that he wasn't going to die. Like, because I did not watch it in real time. But even if I had watched it in real time, I would have been pretty confident he wasn't going to die. But it was similar to Derek saving all those other people and then getting in his Porsche and getting crushed by a semi truck. Like, it could have gone that way. And I don't know if you guys saw any of the interviews. Kevin McKidd has done a lot of exit interviews for Grey's. And he did say that if it was up to him, Owen would have died. And I'm like, thank God someone gets it. But I guess when he was talking to Meg Moranis, the current showrunner, she was like, oh, we just don't want Owen to die. There's just so much bad in the world. We don't need more bad. And I'm like, girl, that would have been some good in the world. But she disagrees and she gets to be in charge of the show. So her opinion does matter more than mine. But he said that if it was up to him, Owen would have died some like heroic death, like saving someone else. And I do actually kind of think that would have pissed me off because I think people then would have kind of used that to erase all of the terrible things. Like people sometimes with George, they're like, oh, he was so like, he died saving that girl. I'm like, yeah, but he still sucked. Like, yes, he did die saving that girl. And that one action was great, but like, he was still awful in so many ways. And we just, I will never shut up about it because people will just gloss over the way that he treated the women on this show. That man sucks. And he was, you know, one of Owen's favorites. So I think that says something about the both of them. Someone is shooting off fireworks right now. It is May 10th. It is Mother's Day. Are we doing Mother's Day fireworks? Anyways. So I just, I'm glad they didn't give him the quote unquote hero death. Cause again, that would have pissed me off. I kind of understand, you know, the whole concept of like, oh, he's a soldier. Oh, he's done this and this, but he's just done so many horrible things that it kind of overwrites that. And he has no, I just don't think he deserves to have a hero's death. I think if he's going to die, it's just going to be a bummer. And they didn't kill him, which is its own bummer. So it was like a really rapid shift for Teddy. And this is a trope in a lot of shows, and I don't love it. It's just, you know, conflict, and then someone's hurt, someone's sick, someone almost dies, conflict's resolved because, oh, life's short, there's no point in being mad. Well, that's not always the case because, yeah, they want to be together, but the issues they face are still going to be the issues they face. Now they're just going to be facing them in Paris, and they're going to have more pressure to, like, quote-unquote, make it work because they've now uprooted their lives and, like, oh, Owen almost died, and all this stuff. And I find it frustrating. Again, not just here, but there's a lot of shows that this happens in. I find it frustrating when people have very valid conflicts. Like, yeah, if you're fighting about something petty, if you're like, oh my God, they threw away my leftovers, and then they like get in a car crash and almost die. Yeah. Okay. Fair to not care about the leftovers anymore, but that's just not what this was. And I think all of their issues in their relationship are very valid and they're just not really truly addressed. And I think at the core of it, they don't know who they are as individuals. And if they do, they also don't share that with people. I obviously loved Teddy with Henry. That was end game, but they killed Henry off so that he could go be Jake, which I totally understand. But I also love Teddy with Tom Karasik, and I know people hate him, and I think that's the most likable he is when he's with Teddy. And so I would have loved to see that play out differently, but obviously they weren't going to do that. And then, you know, Owen's, I don't know that there is a best version of Owen. It's probably the one where he's not on this show anymore. So there's not like, oh, Owen's his best self with this person or this person. It's just when he's not ruining women's lives, which is never. So I don't know. Maybe Paris will change him. Maybe he'll see art and just like stop being shitty. Who's to say? Who's to say? Couldn't be me. He's gone. He's gone. It is what it is. It looks to me, and again, if they've, if this has already been done in the season, and obviously I don't have all the context, it looks to me like they are setting Link up for some kind of potential, like painkiller addiction storyline, which honestly would be interesting to me because of the storyline that they did with Amelia on Private Practice. And they've really only alluded to it on Grey's. And again, I'll say this until the day I die. If you don't like Amelia, you need to watch Private Practice. You can continue to not like her, but you will just have so much more of an understanding of her character, and who she is, like on a big picture. And I think it would be interesting for Link, who she has a child with and has had a relationship with, to go through an addiction storyline and journey. And it would be a really interesting way to have them come together, not in a romantic way, like just in a supportive way, and like see how she could walk through that journey with him. And then the same with Richard, obviously, like we've seen a lot of Amelia and Richard kind of pulling on, leaning on each other when they need to. We saw in Private Practice, Amelia and Charlotte really leaning on each other. And I think there's something really, like, what is the word I'm looking for? Compelling. It's really compelling to watch people when, obviously when the storyline is done well, which I, again, I think they did really well, mostly with Charlotte and Amelia. I just love that relationship. But there's something compelling about those storylines where someone who's walked through that before kind of like can come in and be on that journey with someone new, who you maybe like wouldn't anticipate that having happened. So I think that's kind of what it looks like to me. So if I had to make a prediction, that would be one of them, is that he'll kind of go through that. And then Amelia will be there for him and also be there for Joe in some aspects to be like, listen, you're not going through this, but you are obviously impacted by it. And this is what I can tell you and all this stuff. And that's kind of where I see that going. But it's also, you know, we've seen Joe have some mental health struggles. And so I think it is always interesting to see how they're going to play that. And maybe that is also playing a part in like her choice to potentially step back from OB or step back from surgery or step back from medicine on a whole. I don't know. Again, guys, I'm so sorry. I just have not watched all of this season, and I will. I promise I will. And maybe then I'll come back and talk about all the things that I'm talking about now, but like with more information. But the main thing I wanted to get on and talk about is the fact that they did not kill Owen Hunt. And I know we're all disappointed by it. And I did not, like, I wasn't super blown away by the tribute that they did for Owen or Teddy. I like Teddy's better. I could have done with some more Christina in it because, like, to me, that's a huge part of Teddy's storyline. Sorry, I'm drinking a High Noon. And so I just think that I definitely could have, there could have been like more weight on it. It was just like, for being a full episode, in a lot of ways, it felt kind of rushed. Cause like Teddy's stressed out about Owen, but we as the audience know that he's all right immediately. So it doesn't feel like, we don't feel the pressure that Teddy's feeling. You know, there's a lot of other episodes where people, we kind of see that cliffhanger moment and then we don't get the reveal that that person is okay until way later. And they just didn't do that this time. So from a viewer standpoint, the like suspense or intensity that Teddy's sitting in is just like not really passing through to the audience. Obviously, she is in a chief role and she is like dealing with this huge crisis at the hospital and influx of patients and really like high volume of traumas. But when it comes to like her the fear of like what's happening with Owen, like what's going on, you know, like when we didn't know what was going on with Derek for like several episodes. And it's just like one of those things where I kind of think I wish that had been done differently, even though I wouldn't necessarily be pressed about Owen being alive. I would still, you know, just the suspense of knowing whether or not he is, I think adds to it. And they kind of lost that. And, you know, in one of those interviews, Kevin McKidd was like, oh, you know, they didn't want to kill off another person. And I'm like, they really haven't killed off like a main person. They killed off that lady that was training Millen at the beginning of this season, but she had not been on that many episodes. I don't even think she was billed as main cast. I think she was billed as guest starring. And it was just like, are you taking the risks that you used to take? You know, like when they killed George, it was a huge fucking deal. Like honestly, when they killed Denny, it was a big deal. But then George being one of the core cast in season five seasons in is like pretty early to be killing like a main character. Oh God. Sorry, I had to mute it and cough. The pollen is killing me right now. I had to work 12 hours yesterday for a wedding that was outside. So I'm a little bit dying, but it's okay. But I apologize. Anyways, I lost my train of thought. But I think that we're just like the risk taking, the plot, the characters. Obviously, early on, a reason that a lot of people left was also because of things going on behind the scenes with like the writing and the contracts and blah, 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 whatever. But they still managed to make those exits interesting. They still managed to make those exits like high stakes. And it just doesn't feel as high stakes anymore. I did feel whenever they had the shooting where Joe was like in the convenience store with Lucas, that one was pretty high stakes. Like I was actually fairly stressed in that episode. But recently it's been a long time since I've had the stressful episodes like, you know, we have now in podcast time, when it's like, oh, the stress of the plane crash, the stress of the ferry crash, the stress of Gary Clark. Obviously, these are like the really high stakes Grey's tragedies or crisis, but they just don't, it's just not hitting the same anymore. And I don't know, like, I do understand wanting it to be like the escapism in a lot of ways that it seems like Meg Moranis, from the interviews that Kevin McKidd is giving, it's in articles that I'm reading, it's kind of seeming like she's like, oh, there's so much terrible things in the world. Like, wouldn't it be nice if this could like not be terrible, which I totally understand. And I do appreciate that viewpoint. However, they are still using their platform to address a lot of the terrible things, which I am in great support of. Like, if you have a platform that is consistently reaching millions and millions of people, I definitely think that's a good use of it. It's just weird for me then when they're like, well, we'll just make it happy and fun. And I'm like, well, which is it? Like, because are we escaping and just like being silly, goofy guys? Or are we like tackling it and like, this is reality? In reality, Owen probably dies. I don't know. It's just like a mixed bag of the stuff. And again, I think there are a handful of people who don't hate Owen. But I think the majority of people would have been thrilled if he had died. I think where it gets tricky is the fact that you have Teddy, who has already been widowed, and you have the fact that they have kids. And I don't, conceptually love the concept of them like not like being orphaned or like losing a dad. Like that's, and then because they decided to write off Kim Raver and Kevin McKidd at the same time, I didn't think there was a world where they write off Owen dying and then have Kim Raver leave to go through this like widowed single mother storyline on her own. To me, like that is not a very clean story. And if they had like kept her and like obviously showed that storyline on the show and like had the support and like have people rally around her, like that would be different. But yeah, once they announced they were both leaving, I was like, no way in hell is this man dying. There's no way. And I hate to be right. in this scenario. I'm right so often, and it's just like so often I don't even get to, it's not fun when it's things like this. It's like, damn, he should have died ages ago. That's the issue. Teddy should never have come back, and this man should have died so long ago. And the fact that Carmen in season 10 is like, wow, can you imagine a world where Owen is on in season 22? I'm like, unfortunately, I don't have to, because I've fucking lived it. We've all lived it, and it's been wildly unpleasant. No one is having a good time. So, yeah, that's kind of my rant about the finale. Oh, I do like Millen and Ndugu together. I don't know if that's divisive. Again, I haven't watched like the back half of the season, but the front half, when they were kind of going back and forth about like, oh, should we not? And we was like, they finally did. I like them together. I think it's an interesting coupling. I think of all the interns, she's probably the one that they're not interns anymore. Maybe they are. No, they're not interns. There's new ones. I think of all of that class with Lucas, who's your mom, Lucas, Simone, Blue, Millen, and then, oh, that girl that left, whose name I can't remember, which I did not like that she left, because I did like her, but I like Millen. I think that they give her a decent amount of like complexity. I like that she lived with that old lady. That was really fun, a fun bit for me. But I think her and Ndugu make sense. It's reminiscent of like Christina going, like having a lot of respect for like teachers and like really powerful surgeons and like kind of being attracted to that, like the intelligence and the talent and the passion there. So I don't know. It's reminiscent of it, but in a good way. It doesn't necessarily feel like we're just recycling storylines. So I like them together. Sorry if that's a bad take. You know, I'll come back after I've watched the rest of the season and I'll let you know if I decided it was a bad take, but right now it's fine. Again, I don't know who Katie is. I don't know who that Tony lady is. I don't super understand why Cass is just like constantly coming in and just like sleeping with people and then leaving. Like, I don't know. That one is weird to me. I am still bitter about the Owen and Teddy, the way that they did the storyline of them having like the quote unquote open marriage, because I thought it would have been an interesting time to explore that. Sorry, I had to cough up a lung again. But I'm trying to mute it so you guys don't have to listen to it. I really like when they first got to that point where they're like, oh, maybe we'll have an open marriage. I was like, okay, cool. They're going to explore this and like show what that looks like in like a healthy, normal, like more accepted way. And of course they didn't. And so I didn't love that. I do like that they have Cass there kind of representing that type of relationship, but because we don't also get to see her husband, I feel like it kind of falls to the wayside and you forget that that's what they're telling with that story. Like, it would be cool if we had both of those characters and like we kind of just saw a fully functioning couple who was practicing an open relationship in like a really healthy, mature way. But they did not show that. They had Owen just immediately fuck everything up, as he is the one to do, and Teddy being like, oh, I must have no joy in my life because I love Owen Hunt. So I don't know. It's just, I'm just glad that they're going to be gone and we don't have to go in this circle again, because where we're watching right now in season 10, Teddy left on such a great note. Like, you know, obviously she went through the stuff with Henry and then she gets this incredible offer in Germany and she goes there and she like left and she's great. There was really like not a lot of like her obviously struggle with losing Henry brought out not the best side in her when it comes to Owen, but they really kind of overcome that. And there's just like not that much to dislike about her. And then they bring her back and they just do her so dirty. And it just like really is a bummer, because I loved that character in her first iteration. So when she comes back to like hyperfixate on Owen and then they like randomly write in that she was in love with her best friend and then Owen's mad about that, I'm like, Owen, you don't create an environment that invites people to tell you about themselves because you're just gonna get mad. So it makes perfect sense that she hasn't already told you about this. Although at the same time, from a storytelling perspective, it felt shoehorned in. But on like, if I'm looking at it as oh, now we're learning more about this woman. Now we're learning more about her emotional traumas and all this stuff. I did like the filling out of the character. Obviously Owen sucks and he tried to ruin it. And yet she stayed with him. So it's fine. Everything's fine. At least they're gone. At least at the end of the day, they're gone. Mostly Owen and the less good version of Teddy. So that's where we are. I just rambled for 30 minutes about Grays yet again, as I am wont to do. Thusly, this podcast was born. But yeah, I think that's really all I have to say about the finale. It wasn't the worst episode that they've done in a while. It wasn't the best episode that they've done in a while. Could have been a high stakes. They're just like, now they start the finales with these really stressful situations and there's no cliffhanger. I guess kind of Nick is a cliffhanger, but he's fine. Probably. Bailey is like maybe in trouble. Quan is probably fired, but at the same time, it seems like someone could maybe talk Richard out of it. It just seemed a really hostile send off. Yeah, there's just like not a lot of stakes right now. I guess Simone slept with Lucas again. We still don't know who Lucas's mom is. We never will. But Simone's also still with that other intern guy who I like way better than Lucas. But I don't know. It's just, you know, we're going into season 23. We're about to have season 23. I need them to either end it on the 500th episode or on the 25th season. And if they can math it out where both of those coincide, that would be great. I just think those are really pretty round numbers. And I know I've said this before, but like end it on the 500th episode. Like it's too many. It's too much. It's too many Grey's Anatomies. And I know it's like blasphemy. Like, it's just not, it's so hard watching the old seasons because it's just so good. Like, seasons 1 through 10, specifically, like, 6, 7, 8, 9, like, so fucking good. And now, it's just hard. You know, it's not Shonda anymore. You're obviously going to lose that voice. You're going to move to other people who know these characters, but it's not the same as someone who, like, created it. And so, so much has shifted in just like the production, the set design. They're not at the hospital anymore. They don't even have the catwalk anymore. Like, ugh, it's just like not the same show anymore. It's fine. It doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. We all care about it. I know we all care about it. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter like that. It's just one of those things where it doesn't matter in the way that I can't control it. So I will just accept what happens. Let it be. Or so they say. Anyways, that's my take. Hit me up. Let me know what you think. And then I'll probably watch the like 8 or 9 episodes that I haven't watched yet while I'm gone this week. If I have the time, I'm not super sure what my travel days are going to look like. I am flying out tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. So I'm going to be a sleepy lady, but hopefully my hotel room will be ready and I can take such a good nap. But yes, I shall be back. Regular scheduled season 10 Grey's Anatomy shenanigans next week. And everything is just going to be great. And I hope you guys, if you watched the finale, I hope you medium enjoyed it. Sorry Owen didn't die. Wasn't up to me. If you didn't watch the finale, oops, I spoiled it. But, you know. Maybe we'll put a disclaimer on it. So, but that's what's happening. Season 22. It's just still going on. And you guys, we're all still in it. We're still in it and we're going to stay in it at this point. Like, I don't know if they could do anything that would piss me off enough to stop watching it because I've just committed so much of my life to it. I'm not going to let it defeat me. It's me versus Grey's and I will not lose to Grey's, not me. So, I hope everybody has a lovely Thursday, a wonderful Friday, and we will see you back here in a week. Bye!
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.